interesting as you look at what we've been studying over the last few weeks. We've been looking at the laying out of the tabernacle as the Lord has revealed to Moses all the various things that are to be contained within the tabernacle and the tabernacle itself and the purpose of it. The purpose of the tabernacle is so that it is a place where the Lord can come and tabernacle with the nation of Israel. The Lord instructed Moses early on where the tabernacle was to be placed within the camp of Israel. It was to be placed in the center of the camp. There was to be four tribes of Israel encamped three tribes of Israel encamped on all four sides. They were to be surrounding the tabernacle. The tabernacle itself, we've seen, has been constructed in such a way that it would point to the very character of God and the fact that man cannot approach God except on his terms. Starting from when the people that come to the tabernacle and those that would enter into the outer court, the only way that you could enter the tabernacle was through one door. There wasn't multiple doors. There wasn't a door on the east, west, south, and north. There was only one door and one way to enter. When you got in the tabernacle, you had the curtains surrounding the tabernacle that we saw were about a little over 7 feet tall. You had to be an awful tall person in order to be able to see over those curtains. You see, not everything that went on in there was for everybody to know. But only those that were intimately involved with God could enter in and meet the Lord. Once they got in, we remember that there were two things that they would see as they entered into the outer court. They would see, first of all, the brazen altar. The brazen altar where the sacrifices would be offered by the priests on behalf of the people. And the Lord laid out how the sacrifices were to be presented, what the purpose of the sacrifices were. That you could not come into the presence of God unless the sins of the people had been atoned for, and there was no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And the sacrifices were to be identified, as we saw just a couple weeks ago, where the priests would lay their hands upon the animals, identifying with the animal that was about to be sacrificed, that it was their sins that were resulting in the death of this animal. And this animal was being offered to the Lord on their behalf. We also saw that it wasn't just sacrifices for sins, but there were also offerings that were to be given to God because of His mercy and grace and His provision for all that He had done for the nation of Israel. You also saw that beyond that there was a laver, and the laver was in the outer court, and the priests, before they could enter into the holy place, had to wash, if you remember, their hands and feet. Their feet so that they would not, where they went, they did not go in their sinfulness, but they walked in the holiness of God. Their hands, that where they served, they did not serve in their self-centered, humanistic ways, but rather they served in the holiness of God, honoring Him and His holy character. Then we remember we came to the Holy of Holies and the veil that was there. And within the Holy of Holies, there were implements contained within there. Right outside the Holy of Holies, we saw last week, I believe it was, the altar of incense. And the altar of incense, on the altar of incense was offered incense, which was evident of the fact that they were offering up before the Lord that which was sweet to Him. The New Testament reveals to us that we as Christians have an altar of incense before the Lord, and that incense is our prayers that are come up before His throne, and that He desires our prayers. He wants to have fellowship with us and to have us come before Him with our prayers and concerns. Once they were in to the Holy of Holies, you remember the things that were in there. There was the candlestick and the showbread, and the candlestick and the showbread in the holy place, and we see that they were evident of and pointing to the fact that Jesus was the bread of life and the light of the world. And then you had the Ark of the Covenant, which was the mercy, contained the mercy seat where the high priest will once a year offer sacrifices for the atonement of the sins of the people as well as his own sins. Now, as we look just briefly, and I gave you a quick overview of the things that we've studied, everything that we've looked at has pointed to the fact that God is holy, God is righteous, God is pure. God is unapproachable except according to His ways and the way that He tells us. We can't come rushing in on our own, and we can't find a way in except through the door that he offers, through the sacrifice that he provides, and meet him at the mercy seat where he meets us. This is where he met the nation of Israel, and it was in the Holy of Holies where the Shekinah glory of the Lord would reside. The Shekinah glory resided in the Holy of Holies, we know that he went before the nation of Israel as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud during the day, revealing to the nation that he was always with them. Now we come to chapter 31. As we've looked at all of these things, we probably think, well, they've been built, but they haven't been built. And we see that in chapter 31, the Lord's going to tell Moses, I've got two men in mind that I have set aside, and I've given and empowered them to be able to do all the things that need to be done to build all of these elements that we've basically talked about, and do it in such a manner that would be according to my standards and bring glory to my name. Let's look at chapter 31, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by the name of Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in an understanding, in a knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Why? To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Just pause here. I want you to see, first of all, this man had abilities. But the abilities weren't his. They were given to him from where? From God. And not only that, it's one thing to have abilities, but it's another thing to have the wisdom of the Lord and being able to use these abilities to bring honor and glory to God. This man wouldn't just go in haphazardly putting these things together, but as Moses laid out to him how that the Lord had explained that they were to be built, and the Lord went into quite some detail as how everything was to be put together, what it was to look like and what it was to be made out of, and how it was to be made, what type of wood, what type of precious metals were to go be cast over it, where these precious metals were to go, all pointing to specific things and relating to the message of salvation as well as the message of the fact of who he was as their creator and God and redeemer. Now this man had been given these gifts and this calling by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God filled him. I want us to see one of the things that God does for us today. Some people say, well, I could never do certain things. I could never witness. I could never have the gift to go and visit somebody in the hospital. I couldn't do that. Well, the thing is, a lot of us can't do that in and of ourselves. But guess what? We possess the Spirit of God, and God enables us to do some of those things, not because we can, not because we maybe even enjoy doing them, but rather because he's called us to do them, and he gives us his Spirit so that we can accomplish those things. The Bible tells us that as New Testament Bible-believing Christians, God's Spirit is given to every believer, and he gives to us his spiritual gifts that we can